1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. I would like to preach a message to you this morning that I preached at the Garden Tomb, the place where our Savior was buried. It's a really amazing place. And I think part of what is so amazing about it is just how much it is like until today, the way that the Bible describes it. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Now, in most of Christianity today, you will easily hear messages about the death of Christ and about the resurrection, but seldom will you hear a message about the burial of Jesus Christ. And yet it is an integral part of the gospel message. The Apostle Paul here had declared in verse 4, "And that He was buried." It is a part of the gospel which he said in verse 1, he was declaring unto them, "I declare unto you the gospel, and that He was buried." It is a part of the gospel message. The burial is a part of the gospel message that we should not and must not forget when we're presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, in too many cases, the only reason that we'll even mention the burial of Jesus Christ is to say that He arose from the grave. Nevertheless, hardly ever have I heard a message in my whole life about the burial of Jesus Christ. Now, I know that we think it's kind of morbid to talk about a burial. But let me tell you something. In the Bible and to the Jewish mind, which I think I understand being Jewish, if one is not properly buried, it is considered a tremendous curse. To not be properly buried is a curse. Jeremiah chapter 8, amongst many, many places where I could have gone in my Bible. Jeremiah chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, it says, "At that time, saith the Lord, they shall bring out the bones of the kings of Judah, and the bones of his princes, and the bones of the priests, and the bones of the prophets, and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, out of their graves, and they shall spread them before the sun, and the moon, and all the host of heaven, whom they have loved, and whom they have served, and after whom they have walked, and whom they have sought, and whom they have worshipped. They shall not be gathered, nor be buried. They shall be for dung upon the face of the earth." Now let me tell you, when God wanted to curse someone and to say just how awful their life was in His eyes, He said, "You're not going to be buried. Your bones are going to be spread out so that when the vultures are done eating you, they'll just bake away in the sun. I will not permit your bones to ever be buried." When God says that to you, watch out. Watch out. Because your life is going to be considered very, very poor chance of living to be a ripe old age or of ever having a proper burial. It was a curse. And this was one of the ways that God cursed someone, is not having a proper burial. So the burial of Christ was important. You remember Jezebel, right? When God talked about the way she was going to die and her burial, He said she's going to be thrown down and the dogs are going to lick her blood. This was a way of saying, it's all over for you. She's not going to be buried. Now, there are many, many references that I could have given you in the Old Testament as well as in the New on that, but let's go ahead. If you'll take my word for it on this, I would ask you to indulge me for a moment. The burial of Jesus Christ, therefore, had to be considered important. And in fact, it was prophesied as no other part of the Bible has ever prophesied a burial for someone, the burial of Christ was prophesied. His burial was important. Acts chapter 2, verses 25 through 27, it says, "For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." Look at what he says about the burial of Christ. "Neither shalt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." Again, this was repeated in Acts chapter 13, verse 35, where it says, "Wherefore, he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." Now, folks, the burial of Christ was so important that we can also say it was very expensive. Have you ever thought about how much it costs to bury somebody today? You know, there was a day when we'd say, well, at least it's cheaper to die, right? But not anymore. How about in the day of Christ? I want you to take a look at Mark's Gospel, the 14th chapter. Mark's Gospel, the 14th chapter. And I'm going to begin at verse 1. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover. So this is the night before, the night of the Last Supper and of unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, "Not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people." And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves, and said, "Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence, and have been given to the poor." And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she hath done. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying." Now notice what Jesus says. She's come to anoint my body for burying. Now in verse 9, he concludes, "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." Now, this woman came to Jesus. That's a denarius. What the Bible here called a pence. Okay? Now, a denarius. By the way, this one is between 2,100 years old, 1,987 years old. This particular denarius is what the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about. The Greek word there that is used, this translated pence, is a denarius. Now, Jesus talks about the denarius on several occasions. For instance, the wealthy landlord who was in a hurry to get his crops harvested went out and he hired men for the whole day to work for one denarius. Now, let me tell you, that was a lot of money. This was not typical to be the wages for a whole day. A Roman soldier received for a year's work, 50 denarius. 300 denarius was the wages of a Roman soldier for 6 years if he didn't buy anything, not even a hot dog. For 6 years, he would have 300 denarius because he got paid 50 denarius a year. Typically, a man did not get paid one denarius per day. But the Bible talks about this man as being very much in a hurry to harvest his crops. And he was looking for laborers. So he paid them a denarius for a day's labor. If you think about it, if a Roman soldier got paid 50 denarius for a year, That's approximately one denarius a week, not a day, okay? For a Jewish person, if he actually got such high wages, where he got paid six times more than a Roman soldier for his labors, at that rate, we're talking about at least $25,000 as an annual salary, at least. Now, that would be a pretty minimal salary in the United States, but we'll call it an average. I know some of us probably get less, and some of us probably get more. But if we figure $25,000 in modern terms, because 300 denarius, if he got a denarius a day, you take out of a year, 365 days, amen? You take out 52 of those are Sabbath days, right? There are 52 Sabbath days in a year, and sometimes 53. If you deduct 52 Sabbath days in a year, plus all the high holy days like Passover and trumpets and the Day of Atonement on which they could not work, guess how many days you're left with? 300 days. At the very minimal, we would have to say that somebody would have to work 4 years and saving up their money, putting aside money because you also have to live. You also have to be able to eat and buy clothes and things like that. So it would take you approximately 4 years to save up 300 denarius. This woman spent 300 denarius, her savings, approximately in value today, $25,000, just to anoint the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, by the way, if you knew you were only going to spend 3 days in the grave, don't raise your hand or anything. If you knew, I'm only going to be in the grave 3 days, how many of you would care to spend $25,000 just to be buried? He was only going to be in the grave 3 days. Amen? Amen? So many of us, I think, would have said, so what does it matter? But the Lord Jesus said, let her alone. She's done a good thing. It's against the day of my burial that she's done this. And whenever the gospel is proclaimed, this is going to be mentioned. You ever mentioned this when you were proclaiming the gospel? And he was buried, the Bible says. Now, if that wasn't enough, take a look over at John's Gospel, the 12th chapter. John's Gospel, the 12th chapter. John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover. Now, Mark chapter 14 was 2 days before the Passover, and it was at Simon the leper's house. This says, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard. In Mark's Gospel, it said a woman off the street, and it was at Simon the leper's house. Here, it's at Lazarus' house, with Martha serving the table. And Mary takes a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence? 300 denarius again. A year's wages at least. In modern terms again, at least $25,000. And given to the poor. Verse 7 says, then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. Again, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I'm worth it. I'm worth the $25,000. I was worth the $25,000 that the woman off the street spent on me. I'm worth the $25,000 that Mary has spent on me. It is now $50,000 that has been spent on burial ointment for him. And this was before he died. Now I want you to look a little bit ahead in your Bibles. Over to Luke's Gospel, the 23rd chapter. Because now we have the death of Jesus Christ. You see, it's already been expensive And all we've talked about are the ointments that were bought with which to bury him, the spices. And folks, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't say, you know something, I'm only going to be in the grave 3 days. Why bother? No, he said. The Lord Jesus Christ knew he was not going to be buried properly. And he wanted this money to be spent so that he could have at least close to a proper burial on the day of his death. And in Luke's Gospel, the 23rd chapter, it says in verse 50, "And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, which was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid." It was his own sepulcher. No one had ever been buried in it before. Now, folks, we got to start counting here. How much have we already spent on burying the body of the Lord Jesus Christ even before his death? Around $50,000. If you ever visit this place and you realize that somebody had to chisel this entire sepulcher out of solid stone by hand, this cost a lot of money. And Jesus was only going to spend 3 days and three nights in it. Amen? Amen? We've spent a lot of money already. We can't even begin to estimate how much Joseph of Arimathea, who owned his home right there near Calvary, right on the border of the property, right there where they had cut out the stones to build the temple, was Joseph's property with his own sepulcher, where he had a garden and his own tomb had been hewn out of the rock. No dynamite, no machinery. He had had to pay somebody with a hammer and chisel to go in there and chisel out the tomb. Now we're talking about more expense. And let me tell you something, it's even more than you think, because Joseph was never going to use this sepulcher again. Because in this sepulcher, the Son of God had been buried and rose again from that sepulcher. It says, he took it down, verse 53. Joseph removed the body of Christ from the cross and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. This was not a proper burial, because indeed, John 19:40 says, "Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen strips with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury." That was a proper burial. This was not a proper burial. So Jesus had said, "Leave her alone," twice, to two different women who had each spent 300 denarius to bury him. "Leave them alone. Now he is not buried properly." And it says, "And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on," verse 54. Verse 55, "And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after and beheld the sepulcher, and how his body was laid." Notice that. How, not just where, but how his body was laid. They were upset by the fact that Jesus Christ was not properly buried. And therefore, in verse 56, it says, "And they returned and prepared spices and ointments." Now, the women went out and bought more spices and ointments. Now, how many times has somebody bought spices and ointments now? Three times. How much did it cost for the spices and ointments? About $25,000 each time. We're up to $75,000, not even counting the sepulcher. Okay? And verse 1 tells us of chapter 24, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early," the word there in Greek, proi, means just early in the day. That means at night, because the Jewish day, early, is night. By the time the sun comes up the next day, or the same day, actually, for the Jewish person, it's already later in the day. Proi, very early. "They came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices." They were coming to rebury the body of Jesus Christ. And he had already said, "I'm worth it." Now, Jesus had been buried once by Joseph of Arimathea, wrapped in a sheet. But according to John's Gospel, the 19th chapter, and please turn over there with me, John's Gospel, the 19th chapter. Matthew, Mark, and Luke only ever mention the Lord Jesus Christ being buried in a sheet. But John's Gospel tells us something in addition to that. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. Up to that point, all four Gospels are in agreement. It was the solo work of one man named Joseph of Arimathea. But then in verse 39 it says, "And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. This was after the women had already gone back to buy the spices." They didn't know about this. Here comes Nicodemus. How much money has Nicodemus spent? We already know how much it cost. How much was it? About $25,000. We now have Mary, the woman off the street, the women that followed him, and Nicodemus, all spending, each of them, $25,000 minimally, which means that between them, how much was spent to bury the body of Jesus Christ? Around $100,000. Minimal. And Jesus says, "I'm worth it." And we haven't yet counted what it cost for the linen strips, because the Jewish person buried a body like the Egyptians in one respect. They wrapped the entire body with linen strips like a mummy, except for the face. The Egyptians wrapped the face also. And when the Jews were done wrapping the entire body, except for the face, which they left the face open, and they laid a napkin upon the face, then the feet were tied together and the hands were tied to the body. You remember when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead? It says that he came out and Jesus said, "Untie him." He had to be untied. He couldn't even walk right. He would have had to waddle out like a duck because of being all tied up with the linen strips all around him. Now, this was a proper burial. Nicodemus brought the linen strips and the mixture of myrrh and aloes. And then it says, verse 40, "Then took they," Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, "took the body out of the grave, wrapped it in the linen strips with the spices, and then they reburied it." Now folks, he was finally buried correctly. He was buried twice and would have been buried three times if the women had gotten there on time. But by the time they got there, he had already risen from the grave. Even Matthew, Mark, and Luke recognize this. Luke's Gospel says in Luke 24, verse 12, "Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes," or the linen strips, "laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass." So yes, even the other Gospel writers recognize the fact that he had been reburied, because they all leave it with he was wrapped in a sheet. But then when they find him after his resurrection, the sheet is not there. The Lord Jesus is not there. What is there are the linen strips still in their form, collapsed now because the body had come right out of them. They knew that he hadn't been stolen from the sepulchre because the linen strips still were intact. If somebody had taken his body, they would have cut the linen strips off of him to take the body. Now, folks, why would such a big deal be made out of a burial? Especially since my Lord was only going to use that tomb for 3 days. Why such a big deal? Let me turn your attention back to your Old Testament, to one of the prophecies that speaks so eloquently of the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 53. The prophet Isaiah, who had begun this prophecy, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Who had said in verse 3, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. We like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one of us to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so He openeth not His mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare His generation? For He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was He stricken. And He made His grave with the wicked and with the rich in His death, because He had done no violence, neither was any deceit in His mouth. Now I want you to notice that. And He made His grave with the wicked and with the rich in His death. Literally, what Isaiah is saying here is this. The normal way that the law had it that He should be treated was that He would be thrown out with the wicked. What happens in a burial if someone is not allowed to be buried, if their body is thrown out like trash? What does that tell you? It's a curse. But it says, at His death, the rich man will bury Him. His burial was to be with the wicked, thrown out at the foot of the cross. That's the way the Romans treated those that they crucified. But when it came to the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says very clearly, no. More than 750 years before the death of Christ, God was so concerned with His burial that He had the prophet Isaiah prophesy that at His death, the rich man would come and beg the body of Christ and bury it properly. God would not allow that the very Son of God have His body treated as such as would have been considered a curse in Israel. Was the burial of Christ important? Well, in fact, God has called on us to remember that this burial is a part of the gospel message. Do you realize how important this was? God made sure that before His death, He was anointed with spices for His death. And then three times, He sent people to the grave to make sure that He was really dead. Because folks, if He didn't really die, He didn't pay for your sins. The burial of Christ is important because it proves that He actually died to pay for your sins and mine. And without a proper burial, there could be no proper resurrection. Let's pray.